Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
If Brady is going to call these games and become an owner of the Raiders.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
He's not allowed to set foot in someone else's facility, to talk to anybody on the teams. He is not allowed to be part of any of these broadcast meetings at all.
Earlier on the show, Chiefs center Creed Humphrey. Still to come. Rams running back Kyren Williams. NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Rams running back Blake Corum. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Tom Pelissero, our colleague Tommy P, is making his way to our studio. NFL Network's own, NFL Media Group's own, one of the insiders of the show called Wait For It, The Insiders. He's going to be joining us shortly. We'll talk about how Brandon Ayuk finally signed his deal and what is up with Ja'Marr Chase now. He's now on the clock, if you will. And then Dak Prescott and all of those matters that will hopefully for those players and teams be put to bed soon, because football's around the corner. Again, we are in Kansas City, the Rich Eisen Show, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week. And then the rest of the National Football League campaign plays out. 1 week from today, we'll be one game already into the season with the Ravens and Chiefs having played, getting ready for a Friday night game in Brazil between the Packers and the Eagles. That's how we're rolling. Blake Corum, one of my favorite Wolverines ever, is going to be making his way to the studio in hour number three. It'll be his first visit here. Which means, let's be fair and balanced. Running back atop the depth chart for the Los Angeles Rams, joining us here, courtesy of DirecTV for Business, Kyren Williams of the Rams. Good to see you, Kyren. How are you?
I'm good. Good. How you doing?
I'm just letting you know. You know, this chair to my right, guest chair, is for you as well. It's not just Blake's. You know what I mean? Like, I'm ready to have you sit here too, Kyren.
Hey, it's whenever. What's up?
Okay, we can do that. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I can't complain. You know, I got Friday off, Saturday and Sunday. So this is like the weekend that before the season starts, you know, so we're getting ready. We're getting to it.
What does Labor Day weekend in Los Angeles look for Kyren Williams? Or are you leaving town? You're going to get some time somewhere else?
No, I'm going to be here. And I'm taking care of my little dog. So, you know, I'm going to be focused on him, watching Notre Dame tomorrow.
Okay.
And, and just chilling on Sunday, you know. So nothing really too much going.
All right. So let's take it one at a time. What's your dog's name?
His name is Zilla. He's a Rottweiler.
Ooh. What's your dog's name again?
Zilla. Zilla. Kind of short for Godzilla.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
Nice.
Is Zilla anywhere in the room right now, Kyren?
Yeah, he's actually laying down right beside me.
Okay, let's see, because we're a dog-friendly show. Zilla, where are you, Zilla?
Oh, he's running away now. Let me see. Come here, Zilla.
Come on, Zilla. Let's see here.
What do we got? Man. It's okay.
Kyren Williams showing off his moves here. Hold on a minute. Don't be shy, Zilla. Hi, Zilla.
She's a puppy.
What's up, man?
Oh, my goodness.
I love Rottweilers.
He's like, what's going on?
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Zilla's ready to chill for the weekend.
Yeah, he's excited. He wants to go to the park.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. What does Zilla think about Notre Dame's chances against Texas A&M this weekend, Kyren?
Let me ask him. He likes them.
Okay.
He likes them.
Very good. All right. Are you?
He has no other choice but to like him.
Okay, that's true. You're a little nervous about Notre Dame?
No, I'm not nervous. I'm a fan. I'm a complete fan. So I just sit back and watch the game. I have no ties, you know, because I'm so far removed that, you know, not a lot of people there that I really, you know, I was playing with.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm a complete fan. I'm just a Notre Dame fan. I'm excited for the game, excited for football to come back. And I'm wishing for a win.
Yeah.
I got a chance, though.
I'm an alum as well. So, you know, it's now out of my hands. But, like, it was never in my hands, though. Like, it was actually in your hands.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just jump into your season, Kyren. I'll be honest. I was kind of surprised to hear that you were named the punt returner for the Los Angeles Rams. Walk me through how you got that role, Kyren.
I mean, I'm just not really something I did. You know, it's something I remember doing. I did it a little bit in college, and then I did it a couple of games last year. But mostly it was Coach McVay's decision. You know, he said he had full trust in me to be able to go back there and make the smart decisions, you know, get the ball where it needs to be, and just being able to, you know, just be a trusted punt returner that, you know, he can ensure that nothing, you know, that phase is cleared on. So, you know, that's something he came to me early on about in training camp, that, you know, that's something that I might be doing. And then, you know, he finally came out to, you know, to the world about it last week with it.
So how you said the last time you – when was the last time you returned a punt?
It was last season. I think the Cincinnati game, week 3 of last year.
Okay, so you did it last year.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of folks were surprised because that puts you out in a position where, you know, normally a running back, the guy atop the depth chart in the running back room – wouldn't be placed out there, Kyren.
Right. Yeah, and like I said, that's the coach's decision. I can't control those type of things and what goes on. But like I said, Coach McVay, he told me early on that might be something that happens this year.
Okay. Do you just on behalf for you and other? Do you know how to do this? You know how to.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Okay. I know exactly how to do that. I know exactly how to do that.
Yeah, man, it's your right hand.
And I'm screaming it too. Peter, you got the wing.
Hey, but you can take it to the house though too. You know
exactly. Like, so I just think that's another way that I can be able to attack this game. You know, that's just where I'm the best is with the ball in my hand and the green grass. And so that's what, you know, the punt return allows me to be able to have and be able to, you know, create more plays. And like I said, as a punt returner, when you're smart, you can pick and choose when you attack the game. So
how much better a player are you now than you were 1 year ago at this time, do you think?
I'm a lot more smarter player. You know, physically, you know, I've gotten bigger and stronger, all of that stuff, you know, you just continue to work out. But just more understanding of the game and just knowing how people are going to react to certain things, that's something that, you know, I've really keen into this offseason and then this training camp and watching film, and just being able just to see how guys react off of certain things and off of little movements, and really just be able to understanding my own line too. And that's something I did a little more emphasis on, just being able to see how those guys, you know, how they move and kind of trying to figure out how they think, you know, just be able to just be one as an offense.
Are you in a fantasy league, Kyren Williams?
I don't do fantasy.
Okay. Well, we're in one right now. You know, is Kyren still on the board right now? We're in the second round. We're literally drafting right now. This would be a first for the Rich Eisen Show if we were on the clock, that if we ever drafted somebody who I'm interviewing in the middle of the interview.
No, he's gone already. Yeah. He went.
He's psyched.
He's gone already. Yeah.
Whoever took me, thank you.
He went 14th overall.
14th Ooh. Overall.
I'll take that. But like I said, I remember what I said last time I was on the show. I'll take that. But you know what we're going for.
Tell me, who are the other running backs that went after? Who did Kyren Williams go over?
Oh, okay. Two picks later, Devon Achane went.
Okay.
Then Travis Etienne.
Okay.
Derrick Henry. Kyren, you beat Derrick Henry. Josh Jacobs and Isaiah Pacheco.
He's taking a sip. Yeah. You like that, huh? That's got to be good. Nothing? Okay. All right. Oh, I see. It's not high enough for you, is it? I got it. See?
Okay, the running backs that went ahead of you.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey.
That's what I want to hear.
Christian McCaffrey, Bijan, Breece Hall, Jahmyr Gibbs, JT, Jonathan Taylor, and Saquon.
Does that satisfy you at all, or what?
Nah. I want to be up there, you know. I want to. It's all right, though.
Okay.
But I'll take 14. 14, that's better than when I got drafted in the NFL, so I'll take it.
Yes, yes. I would agree. I would agree.
Somebody's paying respect.
It's Karen Williams here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's your relationship? We got Blake Corum coming here in an hour number three. You know I'm a Michigan guy, so I know what he can do. What have you – what's your relationship with him like, Kyron?
It's tight, man. You know, I see how he is as a person. And he's kind of, you know, built the same way. Just, you know, he knows that the work that you got to put in the work to get to where you want to be. And that's kind of, you know, the mentality that he's been bringing in each and every single day, you know, coming into the facility. You know, he's always continued to work. And that's something that we can always feed off each other because, you know, that's something that, you know, I know for a fact that the work works. And that's something I believe in strongly. And so I'm excited, you know, where we're going. You know, and what we've been so far. So, you know, it's definitely been cool being able to work with him and you know, playing with him, playing alongside with him.
And then in terms of McVay, just you got a good story where his coaching or his memory, his famous memory, or his ability to put you in a position that you thought, oh, gosh, I didn't think of that, where anything pops up. In your mental sort of Rolodex here of a good story involving your coach so far, yeah, Karen.
I don't got a good story, but like just the memory thing, like it always gets me when he can just be able to spit off just exactly where the ball was placed, where we were at, like what the play was, what year it was, like going back all the way from 2018 or 2017, whenever he first got here, he can just remember everything, even before he got here. He can pull everything out of his head, out of his mind, which is crazy. But, you know, just in a way that he helped me be able to, you know, be successful this year, we talked about just how to receive the ball with some depth when, you know, going to the line of scrimmage and whatnot, just being able to allow him to be able to coach me on the field is something that, you know, kind of put me in a position this year to be able to realize, oh, this does help me or this does allow me to, you know, be more successful when running the ball. So that's one thing that, you know, he kind of, you know, allow me to be in a better position to be successful.
So he can bring up as a coaching point something that you did previously in a similar play, a similar situation. Is that what you're saying? And be able to pinpoint the exact down distance, date, time, game sort of thing with you?
Well, no, I'm not saying specifically with me. He probably could. I mean, he probably can with me, but he, right. I mean, he hasn't said that to me. Like, he hasn't been, like, he'll say, like, oh, you remember that the Giants run? Like, yeah, I'm out. Like, the Giants run. That was the one that a lot of people remember. But I'm just saying, like, when Plaz plays, yes. Like, when we're in the offensive meeting and he's installing a play and he's trying to, you know, trying to think of a coaching clip that might help somebody be better or learn off this clip. He'll just think back. He'll say, okay, go to the Seahawks game. We're on the right hash. I think it was play whatever. And show us how that route was ran. And he'll show the receivers how that route was ran. He'll be in the back of the room and it'll be Coach LaFleur presenting and Coach McVay will be like, actually just go to the Houston's clip. When Robert Woods ran this and he did that and just show the X receiver how that's done. And he'll Coach LaFleur will go exactly to that and it'll be that play that we were just installing. It'll be that play that was ran 3 years ago off the coaching clip.
Man. And that lands in the room, right? I imagine.
Yeah. Everybody notices that, everybody sees that and I remember like my rookie year, I would look over to my left and be like, did he just do that? Like, how did he just pull that out? How did he just do that? And like, there'll be like, I remember this last, actually, see, here comes the story. I'm thinking about it, but yeah. Another thing was we was running a screen this year during training camp. And it was, there was an exact clip that happened 2 years ago with Darrell Henderson or 3 years ago that when he was playing the Seahawks and it was the exact same screen that we had just ran. And he came up to me, it was like, just after practice, have Coach G show you the clip of Darryl during the Seahawks. Show you the clip, and I'm like, yeah, the clip of Darryl during the Seahawks, right? And he was like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And so like, he teaches off of clips, and he came up to me right away, and I had seen that clip before, so I knew exactly which play he was talking about. I knew exactly what it was, so it's kind of like I answered this sentence for him one time. It was like, yeah, just make sure you watch that clip. He had a clip of Darryl against the Seahawks when he ran the screen to the left. Mm. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I love that story, man. Because again, it makes you be on your P's and Q's a little bit more, and that's how the Rams get to be better, yeah, if not championship quality. I love that. What are you doing with DirecTV for Business, Kyron Williams?
I partner with DirecTV for Business because fans like I know you are, and fans like a lot of us mm-hmm. who want to catch NFL games are able to do that through the NFL Sunday Ticket when they just go to their local bars. They partner with over 300,000 bars, and so if you just go to the Sports Bar Finder app, you log in there, you find DirecTV for Business, NFL Sunday Ticket. It'll pull up all the bars that have them, and you can go enjoy your Sunday the right way. Honestly, is watch all the games, not just one game, but all the games, and while eating food and hanging out. So that's something I felt very close to, and I know exactly what it is, what that feels like. We did that in college, so I had to. It was a no-brainer for me.
DirecTV.com/for business to find out more information of restaurant and bar owners to check out Kyron Williams and the rest of the NFL Sunday Ticket. Good to see you, Kyron. Enjoy Zilla. Enjoy your weekend with Zilla. I appreciate we're a dog friendly show. I appreciate you showing off Zilla. Tennis ball? What are we throwing? What is Zilla like? What do we got?
You know he's got to keep him off. A football.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that looks like it's been damaged. I got to be honest with you.
He has great ball security. He doesn't let go.
One point of pressure is all Zilla needs right there. Can't get that fumbled. Kyron, thanks again. Always a pleasure chatting with you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, Rich. Have a good day.
Right back at you. At Kyron Williams 23 to follow him on X. That's Kyron Who's right there. House? Yes, indeed. Let me just tell a quick story here about what we just heard. I mean, Kyron Williams telling a story about how Sean McVay can remember.
He's the got recall. That famous recall.
He's got the famous memory.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know what specific type of memory it is. I've seen that before. I think 60 Minutes did a piece on somebody that it's like a
Mary Lou Henner.
Right, Mary Lou Henner, the actress, has it too for some reason.
You can remember, August 4th, 1986.
Right.
You know everything about
Correct.
That.
Correct. Right. And he has that ability as well to remember down distance plays and things of that nature. And we've seen TikTok videos the Rams have made of it. But now you can see how Kyron Williams is saying, I've seen that play. And he probably, as a young player, is kind of prideful to show off to the coach that I can do it too. And I just remember when I first started on SportsCenter, I did a SportsCenter with Keith Olbermann. And KO had a memory, I mean, he still does, where he could just remember facts and moments and names and just come up with it. We were doing a SportsCenter. I may have told this story before, but I just think it's kind of fitting here. That we were, I was honestly 26 years old, just a few months in a sports center, and we were doing a sports center one night, and we had time for what they called a home cooked piece, which is a producer on sports center would create a 2-3 minute feature written by the anchor based on a subject matter. And the subject matter was in advance of a Game 7 Stanley Cup Final. Great goalie performances in the history of his Stanley Cup Final. And somebody was just throwing out like Billy Smith of the Islanders or whatever. And we were kind of struggling to come up with the names for it. So our producer, a great masshole named Billy Fairweather, basically said, screw it, we'll just wait till KO comes in. Because it was a rare moment that Keith wasn't there for the meeting. I think he had a doctor's appointment or something. And I'll never forget this moment. I'm 26 years old. I'm on SportsCenter. I'm doing a SportsCenter with, Keith, because I guess Dan was off or something. And Keith comes walking in, and he was smoking a pipe, and he had like these massive books underneath his arm, like research books or I don't know what the hell he had.
There's no Google back then.
But no, there was. No. And so he had these massive books underneath his arm, and Bill, you know, stopped him and told Keith, this is the piece we have an idea of. Do you know of any, you know, instances of great goalie performances in the Stanley Cup playoffs or something like that? And we were struggling collectively to come up with names. Keith said, oh, yes, Rangers goalie, game five of the Stanley Cup finals in 1930-something, you know.
I think it was game seven. You've told this before.
No, he said in game five, took a puck off the face because they didn't have masks. And then backup goalie comes in, finishes game five. They won that. Shut out in game six. Shut out in game seven. I'll write the piece. I've got a picture of the guy. You can put it over my shoulder for the lead-in. And kept walking. And I thought to myself, what the hell did I just witness? And I thought to myself, like, okay, for me to succeed here, I better know my stuff. I literally thought to myself, that's amazing. I'm nowhere in this vicinity galaxy of having that knowledge institutionally in my head, sports knowledge in my head. I'm like, I better buckle down if I'm going to hold my own with him or be successful in this place. And that story kind of just got drummed up by Kyron Williams saying, oh, I couldn't believe that my coach has this memory to just come up with this play in this moment to try and bring into perspective the types of plays that we're running now, how I can be successful in this now. And he calls it again because there's tape that's just as that shows just how this play works successfully. I better know that in advance of him even saying it. That's how it works. That's how you become successful. Tom Pelissero is here. Tommy P. How the heck did Ayuk just finally just out of the blue sign something, right? And on top of it, what about Trent Williams? What about Jamar Chase? What about all that stuff? Tom Pelissero in studio next. This episode is brought to you by FX's The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. The hit show returns as the stakes get higher and more secrets are uncovered. The former CIA agent sets off on his most important mission to date, to recover his daughter after she's kidnapped. FX's The Old Man premieres September 12th on FX. Stream on Hulu. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What goes through your mind when you hear everybody wants one of you?
You know, it's flattering and humbling, Rich, but it's a result of the success we've had as a team. And, you know, it's nice. Just like, you know, but you know what, though? It is true, though. Like, we got great coaches on our staff. We got good players. It's a great reflection of our organization and what we've done. And I think, you know, that's the biggest thing. And to see guys that we've worked with over the last couple of years get opportunities with Matt and with Zach Taylor, you know, they're deserving of it because of what they've done on their own merit. And when they go in and compete for jobs, people say, man, we can see this guy leading our organization. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing those guys thrive.
Have you told Kingsbury that he has a job because of you, too?
No, sure, that's the that. King, Cliff got his deal on his own.
Okay, no, I'm sure he did. I know you had it. You know, you were knocking on his door too to join your staff. I know that. So you
well,
I know,
he, you, when you, he was, he,
you pantsed him according to Schefter.
I got
told,
him good, didn't
you,
I?
Yeah, you,
that was
I
pretty
think
good.
You told that to Schefter. That
I
you,
did.
You totally. What did you do to him? Again?
Well, basically, you know, we he obviously has a pre-existing relationship with Patrick Mahomes. He was out here doing some things, and Cliff was having dinner with him and a group of people, and we have a mutual friend, and I tricked him into thinking that, you know, he was tampering and that he was going to lose some picks. It was...
That's what you changed somebody's name in your phone to Roger Goodell?
I did. Our mutual friend, he... Yeah, so I couldn't let this go on too long. So our mutual friend, a guy named Chaz Gessner, I put his number in my phone as Roger Goodell and had him send me a text that said, you know, hey, this is tampering. You know better than this. You guys are both, you know, and I showed it to Kingsbury and I said, you know, Mr. Goodell, he never texts me. I said, you better call Steve Kine right now. And his face... He was like, he said, I thought I was going to throw up. He's like, that's wrong. I mean, I couldn't let it go on for more than 30 seconds.
Yeah,
it was a good but a bad joke, man. Okay. I mean, he's like, you ruined dinner, man.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we're sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk. That was a royal week. I've never done that before. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Tom Pelissero's here, everybody.
Hey.
My guys here in the studio. I can come sit over there with you if you want to make that more accurate that we are sitting at the desk.
No, it's okay, Tom. You can stay right there. Listen, listen.
Down here.
Listen, for a man who woke up at the ass crack of dawn, or prior to that, and then did 4 hours of television, you look fresh as a daisy, man.
I appreciate that. CeCe did a great job backstage right before the show
great,
here.
Man.
So on Wednesday.
And your hair still looks perfect.
Again, CeCe all the way.
No, because it's sort of like, you know, whenever you watch these soccer players, these international soccer players, they're 90 minutes into running all over the place, but their hair is still pomade perfect. That's you,
Tommy P.
That's what I go for. I've told the boys the secret before. Brockman, you know, uses it regularly. Is coconut oil and then a little bit of pomade. That's the combination.
Coconut oil.
Coconut oil. That's how you keep the all day shine.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. If we weren't already too deep into all the names, Tommy P's All Day Shine would have been a great
fantasy team. That should be
one of your fantasy teams.
I coined a different one earlier today on Good Morning Football, too. I'm hoping to leave that. We're hoping to leave that one behind. But I'll tell you this. So on Wednesday, I had my kids open house to their school where they go meet their teachers. Very important moment in their lives. So I needed to come out and do Good Morning Football on Thursday, but I also had to do the Insiders.
Of course you did.
So I hustled back from the event.
Yes.
Did Insider 6-7.
Yes.
Went, got on a plane, landed here, got to the hotel about 12:30 a.m. on Thursday morning, napped, woke up at 3, and then powered through the 4 hours of the show. So that's the challenge.
Wow.
It's even worse when at 2:30 a.m., all of a sudden you snap awake and go, I didn't pack any pants. So these are fresh from the mall that's next door to the hotel. Had to do a quick shopping spree there.
Los Angeles pant buying. Tom Pelissero, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. So the Aiyuk deal got done how?
I mean, I feel like we've talked about this weekly
for
6 months here. And this is very much, in my mind, I mean, it's a marriage of convenience. This has gone through, you know, go all the way back to March when the 49ers didn't want to get this deal done at, let's call it 25% less than what it ultimately cost them here. They just... based upon where they're at salary cap wise, the guys that they're paying, they weren't willing to get into that stratosphere. So you have this off-season long standoff. You have a bunch of different meetings of Aiyuk with Kyle Shanahan, with other members of the organization, John Lynch. Then at the start of camp, obviously, the hold-in begins. They're still hopeful maybe something's going to happen, but the 49ers really weren't making him another offer. Then the 49ers start calling a bunch of different teams, the Patriots, the Browns, the Steelers, they're all in on it. But they... all of a sudden, it became clear Aiyuk wasn't going to go to another team. Again, this thing keeps going back and forth. Earlier this week, the 49ers are calling teams again and saying, what if we tried to re-engage? What if we can get Aiyuk to come there? Could we trade him to Pittsburgh and still get this? In the end, they were like $1 million apart. And I know that, you know, Ryan Williams, who's Aiyuk's agent, got on social media last night. There was speculation of, oh, you know, it's the same deal they had on the table 3 weeks ago and wrote something along the lines of that's factually inaccurate, but the check still cashes.
Yes.
They were like $1 million apart, which in my mind is the 1 yard line. It's also a great reminder that there is no close on these deals. It's done or it's not. Yeah. We can all sit back and go, was it really worth 3 weeks at multiple walkouts and nearly trading them away and Aiyuk being mad and all the posts? Was it worth it for that extra few $1 million out in like the fourth year of the extension? You can argue that either way. I'd say no. If you're going to pay him 29, why not just pay him 30? They got to the number. Aiyuk had a number in his head. The 49ers didn't want to go there. In the end, they found a way to get it done. But this was very edgy, Rich, until like the last 48 hours here. He was in the building and walked out 2 days ago because he was mad.
So, but the number that they reached, isn't that with money on the back end that he, Ayuk, may never see?
It's a strong deal up front.
Right.
The issue was whether or not they would put the extra $4 million in the fourth year to bring the average
up. So why didn't they do that to begin with?
Because there are teams that are have fundamental principles that they operate their business by.
Yes.
They had gotten to a certain number that, again, they never intended to go to here. That's why I go back to the marriage of convenience. You had Ayuk, who wasn't going to get paid as much anyplace else, definitely wouldn't be with a Kyle Shanahan level play caller
right.
and a quarterback who's played like Brock Purdy. I mean, Pittsburgh was the place that ultimately, after he vetoed New England, vetoed Cleveland, he wanted to go. Mike Tomlin, I get why you want to play for Mike Tomlin, because every year you know you're going to be in the fight.
Yes.
But Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are both on one-year contracts. You could sign there, and then next year you're playing with, I don't know who, somebody that they're drafting somewhere late in the first round, another free agent signing. Maybe it's still Russ. Maybe it's Fields. You have no idea. So he didn't have the greatest option. The 49ers called everybody.
Yes.
Trying to get a wide receiver. You know, we talked about this, it was like a month ago, when I brought up the idea of, listen, the trade is still possible here, and you're like, well, why would, who would they trade for? I said, well, it's probably someone you're not thinking of. That's where Amari Cooper's name all of a sudden comes up. They called on high profile receivers from other teams. GMs in mid-August aren't going, you know what, yeah, let's trade the number one, number two receiver on our team for a second round pick. They were never gonna exactly. You're gonna get a two roughly for Ayuk, then you're gonna put that out for a lesser player. Neither side could make the other part add up. And so the 49ers, as Mike Garofolo explained on the show last night, they basically gave him a choice. Listen, you can go to Pittsburgh or you can stay here and try to finish off what you started. Ayuk said, you know what? I'm going to stay. They got to the number. And now we'll see how it goes moving forward.
Well, the moving forward is Trent Williams now. What's happening there?
I think that, based on my understanding, you know, the 49ers never thought Trent's going to retire. They think that he's going to play. They always have intended to give him an upgraded contract here once he got in the building. He's still not in the building. Not having, though, the Ayuk pressure, I think now alleviates some of what was maybe holding things up with Trent Williams. So there have been a lot of talks. I haven't gotten the sense, at least up until yesterday, that they were close on a deal. Does it get done prior to week one? Trent Williams is a guy, he's already racked up millions of dollars in fines this time around, but it's the same guy who sat out an entire year in Washington because he was mad at the organization and didn't want to go back there. I think that it gets done at some point. Is it going to be prior to week one? We'll find out in the coming days.
So does Ayuk's deal affect Jamar Chase's at all, or does the CeeDee Lamb's deal affect Jamar Chase's more?
The Brandon Ayuk situation was much more complicated than the Jamar Chase situation, but the math is much more complicated with Jamar Chase. So no. The Ayuk deal shouldn't have any bearing on Jamar Chase because Chase is going to get more money.
Right.
The issue with trying to get a Jamar Chase deal done is the fact that he's got 2 years left on his contract. That's not to say the Bengals won't do a deal. They've been willing to have a real negotiation, but up until CeeDee Lamb's deal got done, it was hard because maybe the side of Jamar Chase wanted to see exactly where that Lamb deal ended up coming in. When you have 2 years left on his contract, Chase has 2 years and like $26 million left on his deal, as opposed to Ayuk, who had one for 14. It's just hard, if you do the extension, to push enough money into the front part of that deal for it to make sense. In other words, a four-year, $120 million extension for Jamar Chase would be spread over 6 years. And so the way that the cash flow works is just a little bit different. That's not to say you can't get a deal done.
Right.
We saw Jalen Waddle get done earlier this offseason. We saw Devonta Smith get done earlier this offseason. But it is a little different calculation, and I don't know why Jamar Chase would take any less than his buddy Justin Jefferson got. Jefferson also had to play out the fourth year on his contract. He turned down significant money the year before, ended up getting more on the back end. Jamar Chase might have to do the same thing. We'll see.
So he might not sign at all. So the Bengals would have two guys in Higgins and Chase trying to get as much money as they can in future deals this year with Burrow coming back and being healthy. I mean, those are two hungry guys. Or would Chase, would Chase really go out there on the field without another year? Because he certainly has been, you know, his participation certainly has been saying otherwise.
Well, and this is also the difference, though, between the hold in and the hold out. Because the hold out, you don't get paid if you miss those games, but you stay away. Eventually, you have to show up by roughly mid-season because otherwise your contract tolls and you'd be under contract for another year with your team. The hold-in, I think I've explained this here before, it's not a thing. There is no hold-in in the CBA. This is literally an invention in the last 10 years where agents have kind of pushed this of, hey, you're going to go in. In Ayuk's case, you're going to say, hey, my back's kind of sore. And you milk that for like 6 weeks. Okay? But that's not something you're technically allowed to do. At any point, the team can do what the 49ers did 2 days ago, which is he passed his physical. We expect him to practice. And once he didn't, now you can fine him. With Jamar Chase, all Zach Taylor has said repeatedly, he said the other day, he's fully healthy. So again, there's your clue that this is not something now that the team is on board with here. But at some point, you need to show up. The next step, if the player would refuse, and again, you could try to go down the road of, hey, I'm going to claim on the Thursday before the game, my hamstring's tweaked. You can do those things.
Yes.
But at some point here, there's grievances, there's team action, there's a bunch of things in the CBA in terms of conduct detrimental to the team, including suspending a guy. I asked a GM this yesterday, what would happen if you got to it? Like, what would be the next step? You find the guy, he's still not practicing, but he's there to try to avoid the big fines. It would be suspending him. But the GM said that's also the option where now the whole thing explodes. Like, the relationship is in really rough shape. That's kind of a last resort here. So that leads me to, I still believe that the best and most logical course of action here is that Jamar Chase plays with or without a deal. Let's see if they can actually make proactive steps toward getting a contract done. If not, he may have to go out there absent some kind of injury, real or imagined, that allows him to continue the way that he's approached this.
Tom Pelissero with some real talk. Let's take a break and then we'll dive into Dak, man. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold because Blake Corum's right after Tommy P, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. We're back with the latest on Dak Prescott's deal in a moment. Let's talk about Sleep Number, people. We all know in the NFL there's no margin for error. A single mistake can change the outcome of a game. We all know that. And proven quality sleep, yeah, believe it or not, can boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall performance. You know that probably in your real life. The same thing goes in the National Football League, which is why Sleep Number is, in fact, the sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Partnering since 2018, 8 out of 10 players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference because being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out for recovery, that is game-changing. So right now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, you can save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing for a limited time, only at a Sleep Number store, or you can go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. See store for details.
Healthy hydration isn't just about drinking water. It's about water and electrolytes. You lose both water and sodium when you sweat, so both need to be replaced to help prevent muscle cramps, headaches, and energy dips. Now, you might think drinking Beyond Thirst would be a good idea. Nuh-uh. That dilutes blood electrolyte and sodium levels, which could lead to headaches, low energy, cramps, confusion, or worse. A solution isn't to stop drinking water. It's to drink water plus electrolytes. Enter Element, created by former research biochemist Rob Wolf and Keto Gains founder Luis Villasenor. Element has enough sodium, potassium, and magnesium to get you feeling and performing your best. Plus, it has zero sugar, artificial colors, or other dodgy ingredients. Also, Element guarantees you find a flavor you love. Try fan favorites, citrus salt or raspberry salt. Get spicy with mango chili or mixed chocolate salt into your morning coffee. Element came up with a fantastic offer for us. Just go to drinklmnt.com/Rich Eisen to get a free sample pack with any purchase. That's drinklmnt.com/Rich Eisen. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
All right, Tom Pelissero is here. I don't know if we've ever done this before, adding a fourth to Residual Rich.
Oh.
I have a residual check from SAG-AFTRA of one of my many appearances television and film, where I open the check and you guess. Have you
do
seen
I get the check?
You do not.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
All right, hit it, please. Hit it. Hit it.
pay that man his money.
All right, everybody, here we go. I'm opening the check. This is for billions.
Oh, okay.
My appearance
of dollars?
On billions.
Okay.
No, oh, no. Okay. Definitely not.
You were great in that episode, though.
Thank you. Internet rental, SVOD, basic cable, pay TV, all in one. All in one. Okay. All right, Chris Brockman, you're first up. What do you have?
$4.38.
This is Price is Right rules. Closest without going over. If this music is not even indicated as such. Right. What do you got?
I'm going to go.
You nailed it perfectly the last time you played.
Yeah. Let's do $6.75.
$6.75. TJ Jefferson, who's actually been on The Price is Right.
And had tremendous success. I'm going to go with $1.78, Bob.
Tom Pelissero.
1 cent.
1 cent.
Whoa.
Well.
Sorry.
Everybody, do not
in
mess.
In that four spots, good
do
place to be.
Do not mess with Jason Feller. My actual retail check, you guessed $6.75, is $7.30.
Wow. Hey. Go get yourself a, probably not a venti, like a grande.
Would you care to guess how much the internet rental and basic cable money was?
Oh, we're still...
No.
$0. 0 cents. All $7.30 comes from pay TV. And from this very episode right there. There it is.
That's amazing.
We actually have photographic evidence of the show in question. Well done. Well done. Do
Thank
not
you,
mess with Jay Felly and Residual Rich.
Fire, man.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, Tom Pelissero is here, 844-204-RICH. We've got a whole bunch of folks. Don't worry. We will get to it before What's More Likely in hour number three. Dude, I mean, what's going on with Dak? I mean, there's no doubt if the Dallas Cowboys want to keep him the Dallas Cowboys quarterback and not mess with Texas in any way, shape, or form. They got to do it before week one, right? Or
essentially.
Well, has
hypothetically, you can do it later, but the best opportunity you have to get the deal done is before week one.
So there's no collective bargaining agreement language that would prevent them from extending Dak during the season.
No.
Unlike the franchise tagging once, if you pass a deadline, you can't touch it until
right.
the next
this
year.
Is more of a Dak deadline.
Okay.
In terms of he doesn't want to be thinking about the contract during the season. Either you ramp it up, you get it done now. Not to say it couldn't happen.
Right.
It would just be unorthodox, out of the ordinary for them to do it that
so
way.
So I wanted to get those parameters before we dig in here.
Mm-hmm.
What's he asking for? 60 plus?
I think it's less about what he's asking for as much as it is this needs to be the perfect deal. I think that everybody realistically thinks 60 is the aiming point here. It's going to be about the way that the deal is structured.
What, cash? Cash, you're talking about like cash that he gets? Like how much of it is in cash?
It's going to be about
similar,
the
like
guarantees.
Mahomes doesn't have a top APY,
sure,
but he's making the most cash.
Right. It's also about the guarantees and how they structure
right.
those guarantees in the future. Because the Cowboys long have done longer deals, and then they've had really strong cash flow at the front, but they buy up all those future years. They've also had, you know, some of the mechanics and contracts have been, you know, the third, you know, if it's a 4-year extension, the third and fourth year aren't fully guaranteed at signing. So it's all these different things. And when you're Dak and his agent Todd France, you can sit back and go, we're going to win either way here. In other words, you give us everything now. You give us the exact contract that we want to sign, or we'll just wait until March, and then whether it's from you or somebody else, we'll get that, if not better. So for the Cowboys, they are having those conversations. There are negotiations going on. Do they get all the way to that point? It remains to be seen. I remember I mentioned back when I was hosting the show a month or so ago, like there is a pathway for this to get done.
How is it?
It would not shock me if this deal gets done prior to the start of the regular season, in part because as much as their organizational philosophy in Dallas has been to kick the can down the road on these things, and it took forever to get the CD Lamb deal done, they still don't have a new deal done with their head coach, Mike McCarthy. They still don't have a deal done with Dak. You're starting to see the wheels turning a little bit more here. They got CD in once they got back to Dallas. With Dak, if he leaves, okay, if he leaves somewhere else in free agency here, what do you do with that position? Trey Lance is a very interesting developmental prospect. But he's in a contract here. They don't have a quarterback under contract. for 2025. So what exactly is your pivot? Is it you're going to trade the farm to go get your friend Deion Sanders' son and draft him in the first round next year? Is it you're going to hope that somebody else becomes available by a trade? In other words, the unknown, as much as everybody, yes, has Dak won big in the playoffs? Has he won a Super Bowl? No. But he was one of the best quarterbacks in football last year. Had his best season statistically and just from the eye test in his first year with Mike McCarthy calling the plays. These two guys, and they're both free agents. I mean, you could have a situation where they both leave and go somewhere together next year if you don't get these contracts done. There's a lot of reasons for the Cowboys to want to get this deal done. There are signs that they are motivated, finally, to get this deal done. But that's different than saying Dak is actually going to get the type of contract that's going to make him give up something that is so rare, which is the opportunity to hit unfettered free agency.
So, correct me if I'm wrong here on these facts. Dak cannot be traded without his consent. No trade clause, right?
Dak cannot be traded without his consent, which is the case with any top quarterback, too, because you're not going to trade what it would cost without getting a new deal
in place.
But
he's got a no-trade clause. He's got a no franchise tagging clause. Correct.
Right. Okay. Most of the franchise quarterbacks, most top players, in essence, have a no trade clause. No trade clauses are fun to talk about because there aren't that many of them within the league.
Right.
But anybody who's going to require, I mean, Brandon Ayuk effectively showed he had a no trade clause, even though he didn't. Because you just go, I'm not going to sign anywhere else.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to go down one by one the leverage that Dak has here.
No trade clause.
No trade clause. Right. And he's got a no franchise clause.
He doesn't have a no franchise clause. It would be a third tag, which is 144% of this year's cap number, which is like $80 million. So again, effectively, no tag.
And if he leaves by free agency, it leaves a $40 million dead cap charge on the Cowboys.
It accelerates because they've turned it in future years. It accelerates it into next year.
Okay.
Correct.
So those are all facts.
Right.
They don't have another contract for, they don't have any other quarterback under contract for 2025.
Cooper Rush is on 1 year. Trey Lance's rookie deal is up.
Okay. You know, it's just all signs point to you've got to do this. And here we are, you know, 9 days before the season. Why do they do this? Why? I mean, Clarence Hill, I asked this question, and he said that the Joneses just have to win deals, that they just... They can't. They've got to win the art of the deal. They have to do it.
The art of the deal, maybe.
They're being beaten on the art of this deal. It's clear that they are. They appear to be, a cornerback that's been beaten and is swimming hard to try and get to the receiver that's 5 yards down the field and is going to draw the flag. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way it looks in this deal. Am I wrong on this?
Well, did they win the art of the deal on CeeDee Lamb? Maybe the art of the deal, it played out the way they wanted it to.
I'm not saying result is. I'm just wondering, why are we going through talking about this again?
Well, my point on CD was they eventually paid him 34. If they did this deal back in February and said, look at all these other receivers who are going to get paid, maybe that deal gets done at 32 or 33. So you're not saving money. You rarely with top players, definitely not with franchise quarterbacks, save money by waiting. Sometimes teams get burned. Okay. The Eagles paid Carson Wentz early. The Rams paid Jared Goff early. The Cardinals, we'll see how it plays out. Kyler Murray seems to have everybody behind him now, but it looked like, man, maybe that was not a great idea to pay him early. But if you've got if you want to get the best value, doing those contracts sooner is generally better. So we're already out the door of when other teams would have tried to get these deals done. With Dak now, you've put yourself up against the wall here. I know Jerry said the other day, you know, while CD was the one who was not here, Dak has been here. In other words, that's why we got CD done first, which sends a pretty clear message to everybody else who comes up with the Cowboys. Hey, just hold out because then they'll think that's the priority.
Oh, my.
With Dak, though, yeah, you're pushing up against a soft deadline, which is the start of the regular season here. Jerry likes headlines. There's no doubt about it. We have talked a lot about the Cowboys here and everything surrounding all these different situations. They are. Again, there are signs that they are motivated to get a deal done with Dak Prescott. Should they have done this in March? You certainly made an intellectual argument that most franchises would have. But there is still time. The number probably hasn't changed that much. You are going to have to give up a lot here to the player to get him under contract. And Dak maybe sent a message of his own yesterday by saying, when he was asked, what does it mean if the deal doesn't get done, said just the way that people feel.
So, because I'm hunting and pecking for team leverage here, and I think maybe I've found it, because you said Dak's camp, and rightfully so, is like, if we don't get it from you, we're going to get it in free agency. Who is going to spend $60 million a year on someone else's quarterback next
team
year?
Spent,
give me the Dak market. Give me the Dak market
team spent,
for 2025.
Rich, in this offseason, $55 million to re-sign Tua Tagovailoa, $55 million to re-sign Trevor Lawrence.
These are all their quarterbacks that they drafted.
To re-sign Jared Goff. Kirk Cousins, 36 years old, coming off a torn Achilles,
yeah,
signed for $45 million a year.
That's 45, not 60. Not
guaranteed.
60. Not 60.
These are still massive, massive numbers. Dak Prescott was one of the top vote getters for MVP.
I understand
a
that.
A year ago.
I get it.
So,
to give me the team.
The answer is somebody. Okay. Well, let's go down the list of who has the uncertain quarterback situation.
Correct.
Where you don't know their future plan. Matthew Stafford in L.A., effectively, he's on a one-year contract.
Okay.
He got a raise to $40 million this year. He gave up his future guarantees. We don't know if Matthew Stafford's going to play football in 2025. Put the Rams on the list. The Raiders right now are proceeding with Gardner Minshew as their starter, Aiden O'Connell as the backup.
Yes.
It is fair to say, after all the speculation about whether they were going to draft a quarterback, if Michael Penix had been there, would they have taken him at number 12? It's fair to say the Raiders,
yep,
quite possibly are going to be in the starting quarterback market. What is Seattle's plan moving forward at the quarterback position? You've got Geno Smith under contract. This is really the last year of where you're kind of committed to Geno, mm-hmm, Smith. They traded for Sam Howell, but he was just available in this offseason for a late round draft pick,
right,
in a trade with Washington. So they quite possibly are going to be in the quarterback market. You know, Cleveland's tied to Deshaun Watson for another 2 years beyond this one,
right,
for $92 million guaranteed. But let's say it doesn't work out. Let's say Deshaun Watson gets hurt again or isn't playing well enough. Does Cleveland decide, hey, it's the right time to move on? The Giants are in the last guaranteed year of Daniel Jones' contract.
Dak,
you can't
goes to the
tell
Giants.
Me if Dak Prescott is available and your options are keeping Daniel Jones around on a non-guaranteed year. Is TJ getting really stressed? You're
yes,
looking behind
is.
Me. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm just listening to this. This is off the top of my head, Rich.
Steelers.
I didn't come prepared to answer this question.
Right.
There are a lot of teams. The Steelers have two quarterbacks who are on one-year contracts at this point. What are the Tennessee Titans going to do if Will Levis is not the dude? They just moved on from the other one. And Malik Willis, I doubt Mason Rudolph is a starting quarterback plan. And I'm sure there's several others that I haven't even mentioned here. That's already six teams right there who, if they don't have the guy, you can look into the draft here. And I know that, you know, based on when the, you know, the scouts had their meetings earlier on in the spring, there's like, mm-hmm, five or six guys who maybe could emerge with first round grades out of this. But those are not sure bets. Even the six guys who were taking the top 12 picks this year, history would suggest that only two or three of them are going to work out. And look how quickly teams have moved on from high draft picks in recent years. In this offseason, you had Mac Jones change teams. Sam Howell, I know he wasn't a high drafted quarterback, but he was playing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He changed teams. Zach Wilson changed teams. Trey Lance was already gone after year two.
Justin
in other
Fields.
Words, let's wind it back in Justin Fields as well. All right, who are the guys who were in last year's draft class? Well, Bryce Young, who it didn't look good in year one. And again, I'm not sitting here saying they're going to move on
you're
from
just,
Bryce Young.
You're showing off
but if you have two bad years in a row,
yeah,
you look around the league and you'd say, maybe they're looking out there. If Anthony Richardson gets hurt again, the Colts believe in Anthony Richardson. They want to be the guy. But if it doesn't work out, you can name any number of teams, Rich. As much as it's been going for 20 years, unless you're in Green Bay, you play the quarterback immediately. And if it doesn't work out, you move on from the guy really fast. Like the Giants are the rare team with Daniel Jones where they doubled down on, well, we don't know yet. We want to give him a little bit more time. There's any number of places, and there just aren't a lot of quarterbacks who are going to be available that you don't have to give up something in terms of draft capital to get them.
And this man woke up at 3 a.m.
I got a 4-hour head
Tom.
Start here. Let's getting ready for this go. Segment.
Well done, Tommy
P.
Blake Corum coming up. Still
Rick,
here on the Roku
Rick,
channel.
So basically what Tommy P just told me
yes.
is that we got to sign Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
There ain't no choice in the matter. We got to do
play,
this.
Call Jerry, play that segment for him. I think he gets it. I think the Cowboys are making an honest effort right now to get it done. Will it actually get across the goal line? It's going to have to be a hell of a deal.
Damn. Dak as the Cowboys quarterback or Dak as the Giants quarterback? What's better? What's better for our business? Dak as the Giants quarterback or
him
Dak
leaving Dallas to go to the Giants.
Giants? It's better for us, right?
Yes, 100%.
Is it better for us?
Best thing since Favre on the Vikings.
Media.
Well, yes.
Media.
I guess for the rivalry aspects?
Oh, it's better.
Good for me.
You are part of this
bigger
media.
Markets.
Okay, well, I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
You're part of this media. What's better for us as a media to talk about? Dak is a giant quarterback?
Dallas Cowboy.
I'd say it's Dak as a giant quarterback.
No, it's not. The best thing for us as an industry is that this deal doesn't get done, and we got six more months of this, Rich.
And then he becomes the Giants quarterback.
Then he goes to the Giants and wins the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Come on.
Or at least makes the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, win a couple playoff games.
What are you guys talking about?
Free agency frenzy 2025. Feel the excitement.
On the insiders on NFL Plus. Thanks to Tom for plussing us up.
Hey,
he plussed us up.
Tommy P.
Tommy P. and his coconut oil and his LA
Look
pants.
At that hair, man.
When did you buy these pants?
2 minutes ago.
It was two minutes ago.
Blake Corum, Balake.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate towards?
I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.